This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Hey everybody, welcome into the program, This Day in History, of course, here on lineupmedia.fm. Today, we break down the events, the deaths, the births on July 18th throughout the annals of time.
We break them down and grind them into the dust.
And when we break it down, Armand Kachigian?
Yes, it remains broken.
It remains broken.
Pulverized.
So, we're brought to you by Audible.com and by Amazon.com. And as part of the lineupmedia.fm network, don't forget over 40 other podcasts on this network to choose from, some of which Armand has not been fired from.
Hey, by the way, talk to Bezos. I didn't get my check this month yet.
You didn't get your check from Jeff?
Yeah, 25,000.
Bezos stiffed you again?
Yeah, Bezos. 25,000 he owed
me. That bastard.
Yep. I'm going to have to charge him. He's late. He's tardy.
Start the interest clock. Okay. It's accruing, Jeff. Come on, Bezos. Don't do this Amazon stuff for free.
Stock's at $1,000 a share. He can afford.
Good God, why don't we split the stock? You give me half, just because you're a nice guy. And what? It looks like you're drinking Pepto-Bismol today out of a jug. What the hell?
Put a little milk in it today.
Oh,
give it a little body.
God, that's gross.
I made a shake out of it. All right.
Well, we got a lot of events to cover.
Let's get to the conflagration.
Well, you know what? We don't have that many events to cover.
No, we don't. I don't know why.
We got some good birthdays.
Yeah.
A couple decent.
Mediocre birthdays also.
A couple decent deaths. And a person that I think Armand is much more attuned to than he would ever admit.
Well, maybe. I don't know. No,
we'll see.
I haven't read the man.
We're going to see.
All right.
Well, but I'm going to start you off.
Are you talking about Nero?
Well, you're definitely in tune with him. AD 64?
Yeah.
Rome?
If I had a wife, I'd stomp her to death like Nero did.
I can't understand why so many – you're having such a tough luck out there in the dating world online.
I don't know. Got a new one. Got a perspective.
Yeah, good. She hasn't
– already getting to be a pain in the ass, though.
Yeah, okay.
So, I don't know. We'll see. I haven't even met her yet.
And she's already a pain in the ass.
10, 12 texts and calls.
There's
one of those.
That's a whiff of desperation.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I like that. That can be manipulated.
Both, yeah.
But, you know, there's a fine line. I mean, I just want to enslave her. I don't want anything emotional to come out of this.
Yeah. Okay.
And that goes for any of you other ladies out there that are listening.
I have some quotes from somebody on this very topic for later in the show. The year 64. That's AD.
Which is not Anno Domini. It's actually not AD. It's CE.
Common era.
Common era. You're politically incorrect.
We take you to Rome. The great city,
yeah.
Widespread devastation rages on for 6 days. It's the great Roman fire, the great fire of
Started
Rome.
In the Palatine on the hill.
Half of the city
and the
gone,
Cilian.
Burned to the ground. How do you burn a stone city down?
Well, a lot of it wasn't stone. I mean, there was, you know, this is the area that weren't a lot of temples and there weren't all that marble stuff. This is where the rabble lived and it's wood and it went up pretty quickly.
Oh, it's not just wood, but it's wood, cloth.
Yeah, all kinds of flam. That's why. That's why they think it was... Well, it was a hot night, first of all. They think it was arson, but thing is, there was a full moon, apparently, and that's kind of stupid if you're going to do arson on a full moon.
Yeah,
you should do it at, you know,
do
dark.
It in a new moon, right?
Yeah.
Where it's completely
like
dark.
The Great Escape, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I had to wait for that new moon.
Right.
And they still dug the tunnel 20 feet short of the wood line. How does that happen?
Well, that's all right. Steve McQueen's on the rope. You're all right. They got 76 out of there. Anyway, what were we talking? Oh, the fire.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we took a tangent already.
Quo Vadis. Watch the movie Quo Vadis. Gives a pretty good depiction of this.
How do you fight a fire in those days?
Well, they had fire. They had a fire. Well, Crassus, that's how he made his money.
Yeah.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
He ran the fire department. So he sent his boys out to start fires. And while your house is burning,
hey, we'll come.
Want to buy insurance?
Yeah, pick. Yeah, we'll take care of this for
made
you.
Made Crassus the most, the richest man in Rome.
Oh, man. That's why we get the term as rich as Croesus,
well,
right?
Croesus, not Crassus. That's
Crassus different. And Croesus are
no,
different guys?
Different person.
Oh.
Croesus was
why do we say
king of Mycenae,
gotcha,
I believe.
Gotcha.
Croesus,
gotcha.
Yeah. That's Croesus as opposed to Crassus.
Gotcha.
Or
right.
Midas.
The Midas touch.
Yeah.
You have the opposite of the Midas touch.
Oh, God.
Everything
yeah.
you touch
yeah,
turns
the
to
Midas
lead.
Touch. I got the Meineke touch. The muffler touch. Shit.
1290, the King of England.
Now, we're not for this. We're not in favor of this.
Well,
but this happens all the time, so it's
well, again,
not exactly unique.
These people have been tormented for 5,000 plus years
yeah,
going.
I had nothing to do with it. I like the Jews.
Edward
really
I of England issues an edict. The edict is called the Edict of Expulsion.
I've had some Jewish girlfriends, by the way.
Yeah.
I expelled them, but not for this reason.
They this edict banishes all Jews, which at the time in 1290 numbered about 16,000.
Yeah. But first he stole everything they owned.
Right.
Of course.
Well, yeah.
You know, Edward I wasn't exactly stupid.
So he expels them from England. This is known as the Tisha B'Av.
Oh, I don't know. That's some. That's
I'm not good at
Hebrew calendar. Yeah. Tisha B'Av, I guess.
Tisha B'Av?
Yeah, I guess.
It's a day on the Hebrew calendar commemorating many
Jewish calamities.
Which
I think every day on the calendar could probably commemorate a lot of Jewish calamities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boy, those people have had their share of calamities.
I don't think there's a day on the calendar that
right.
that someone in the, you know.
But, he expelled them. He didn't kill them. Like I said, he robbed them of everything they owned.
No,
so it was actually, he was pretty good about not, you know.
No, he didn't send him.
Put him to the sword or anything.
He didn't send him to
just
Auschwitz, but.
No.
Well,
I'm not saying. Even back then, he treated him better than most. Usually, just put him to the sword.
Right. Here's what I think a lot of people in the West forget, though. I mean, you think of, the Exodus from Egypt in the Bible and.
The diaspora.
You think of, you think of certainly the Holocaust and other things. You forget, though, and as I do, about events like this where...
Oh, yeah, they were expelled from Spain.
16,000 out of England, kicked out of France, kicked out of Spain.
Right.
And it goes on and on.
Like I said, they were treated better during this than usual. This guy just taxed them to death and kept all their, all their goods and then sent them off.
Now, in 1870, speaking of religion...
Yeah, yeah.
This is a good one. This is one of the worst dates in, I think, modern history.
Yeah.
This is horrible.
Oh, really?
It is.
Well, now, I don't know. It depends on what you mean. All right, well, give us the factoid.
The first Vatican,
render an opinion.
The first Vatican Council in 1870, July 18th, decrees.
Not the last.
Decrees the dogma of papal.
Papal.
Papal?
Yeah. The papal. Yeah. Not papal.
Papal infallibility.
Okay. Well, that depends on what you're talking
they
about.
They vote. To say that whatever the Pope decides,
right,
it's the word of God.
Yeah, but hold it. Now, I don't have a problem with it if you're talking about religion. Okay? That's the problem. Is he infallible in everything, i.e. global warming and science? That's the problem that people have with this.
And
if he wants to make a decision, this
is where I'm going to stun you.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is that what that said?
Well, I've never read the papal bull on this, the decree.
Heavy on the bull, yeah.
But
well, that's what I'm saying.
If you have to vote.
If it's a religious matter and this guy's got to make the...
No,
well,
I'm sorry.
I'm saying.
If you have to vote that something's infallible, by my own logic, it cannot be infallible.
What's that got to do with religion? You're imposing logic and, church and state? Logic and church.
Yeah. Well,
those don't go together either.
No, and I know there's a spin. Look, as a religious person myself who's taught religion.
You are?
Oh, I'm a radical, though.
Yeah. Oh, the 13th apostle over here.
Yeah, no, I'm seriously.
I had no idea you were so pious.
I'm not.
Well, then you're the perfect man to be preaching religion.
I am not pious at all. Religion to me is very simple.
Oh, please.
And almost everyone gets
unbosom yourself.
Almost everyone gets it wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Live well, don't judge.
Ooh. I say live well and judge everybody.
No. You can judge if you want, but it's not going to
judge.
It's not going to get you anywhere.
But what's wrong with judging? But who cares? I mean, don't. I judge you, but that doesn't mean I want to change you.
No, don't and don't act upon.
Well, as I'm saying, you judge everybody.
No,
but that doesn't mean necessarily.
Really.
Well, you do, but that doesn't make a big deal.
Who do I judge?
Well, you judge Trump. You said what an idiot he is.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Okay.
It's not a judgment.
That's not a judgment.
No, it's a fact.
Oh really?
His track record proves it.
It is. Yeah, he's doing great.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, 36% approval rating.
That's better than Congress.
He's doing great.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is like the priest.
So that's the, is that how you judge the success of a president?
No,
what his poll numbers are?
Not at all.
Then why did you say it?
Not at all.
Okay.
Because everyone, in this case, the consensus is right. This is like the priest who tells the great Sparky Anderson once and says, Sparky goes to confession. All right. This is a story I heard through La Russa. No, actually through Sparky. He did an interview.
His real name's George, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. Call him George. You're not friends with him.
He goes to confession. He says,
that's a mistake right there.
Well, he goes, and the priest goes, what's bothering you? He goes, I got a lot to confess. He goes, look, have you killed anyone? And Sparky goes, no. He goes, the priest goes, oh, you're doing great.
I like that priest. All right. I'm just saying, it's impossible not to judge. You judge everything by the prism of your own code. And that's okay.
Yeah, but there's different levels of judgment,
I want you to be less subjective about what you
judge something and impose your will.
Yeah,
well, on
that's
it,
what I'm saying.
You were into a different territory. No, I'm not subjective.
We judge everyone. What do you think this show's about?
Yeah, we're judging history.
Yeah, all right,
and we try to be objective about it.
All right, I'm just saying this papal infallibility. If it's according to his religious view,
it's
kind of crazy.
It's bad enough that it extends to religion. The fact that, as you mentioned, can easily extend outside of it.
Well, that's the problem. That's why I'm wondering what this actually did say.
It doesn't matter. The fact that it can and the fact that it was voted on.
Well, just the notion.
Because now, even though I may disagree with you about Francis's stance on global warming, millions upon millions of people, if he says it,
they will
take it as the word of God, becomes an issue.
That's a real problem, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, there you go. But I'm just saying, I don't know if this grants him that.
It may not.
I don't know. I don't know what this actually said.
It may not grant him that. I don't care, because it's how it's perceived.
Well, that's my argument.
When you're brought up to believe that a person on this earth is infallible, is not capable of making a mistake.
Right. Well, that is
fundamentalism at its root core.
Yeah, but that's what I'm going to go even further with this global warming, because I get this quote all the time. 97% of scientists, which is a bogus anyway, but let's even take it as that's true. Doesn't mean they're infallible either. Are you kidding me? That's just so people are going to be lazy and say, well, a scientist agrees, so I don't have to read anything about it.
But at least those scientists are smarter on the topic.
No, they're not. Most of them. How do you know? Most of them aren't.
Oh,
they're not.
Really?
They're not. They're not physicists.
The Pope is an expert on the physics.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The people that wrote that paper aren't.
Okay.
Anyway, that's what I'm saying.
That's your global warming tip for the day.
But when you start believing in the infallibility of anybody, you've got a problem.
You've got a problem.
You know how Richard Feynman defined science? Belief in the ignorance of the experts.
I always thought science was the process of getting to the last why. I thought that was the true definition of science.
I mean, the scientific method
is the process of getting to the last why.
I haven't heard that. I don't know about that one.
Why does this happen?
Conjecture, observation, and a hypothesis.
Until you can't go any further. Until you're like, why does this happen? And I think we've reached that stage in a lot of things, which is cool.
Like what?
Well, like, why does – because we're at the quantum mechanic thing right now.
Yeah, good luck figuring that out. And they still can't figure that out.
But maybe that's the last why now.
I don't know. When you can't figure out what 95% of the universe consists of, you don't know shit, in my opinion.
Well
– that's where we're at.
You only know 5%.
It's just dark energy and dark matter. Oh, what's that? I don't know.
No, we don't know.
All right. So he might as well be infallible. Ask the Pope. He knows.
I don't know why you yell at me, because we're actually
I'm yelling at the Pope.
We're in agreement on this one.
I know.
Infallibility for anybody is a
I get even madder when you agree with me.
It's a bad deal. Because now when I
then
agree,
I start to question
here's
myself.
What, yes, you st-
yeah,
as soon as
I
agree
be wrong.
With you, you go, oh
yeah,
man.
I know. When you disagree, I know I'm on the right track.
1914, the U.S. Congress.
Have you read this? Oh, I thought we were going to Hitler. Okay.
No, they formed the aviation section, the U.S. Signal Corps. It gives official status to aircraft within the U.S. Army for the first time. And this is the groundwork for what would become the U.S. Army Air Force. And
then eventually
the actual Air Force post-World War II.
Yeah,
and you would have a fourth
wing Archie Bunker was in the military.
Now, the next book I have not read, I will never read.
Why?
It's unreadable.
I don't know about that. I've read it.
All right. But in 1925.
I mean, it's not exactly, you know, War and Peace. Well, I'd rather read this than War and Peace, but it's not.
Be quicker.
You know, it's not Babbitt or Sinclair Lewis.
In 1925.
But it should be. Have you read The Prince? There's a doubleheader for you. Read The Prince and Mein Kampf.
Okay. Well, Mein Kampf is published.
Actually, if you get through the dross, he's got some, you know, like, you know, the majority of people will believe a great lie more than a small lie, things like that. He's got some kernels of some stuff that is very true.
Yeah.
And he kind of sets up what he wants to do. So, you know, in retrospect, it's worth reading.
In retrospect, also, he made quite a fortune off of Mein Kampf when he basically got the state to pay the royalties to him for supplying it to every newlywed couple in Germany.
It should be read on everyone's honeymoon. If I ever get married.
Yuck. Mein Kampf.
Probably better than having sex with the woman I marry.
Speaking of the Germans.
Which means my struggle.
My struggle.
And it was dictated to Hess.
Yeah.
While they were in jail.
Yeah.
Well, what else are you going to do in jail?
Sit with Rudy Hess.
They didn't have a weight set.
Sit with Rudy Hess and dictate a book.
Yeah. Pluck his eyebrows.
Lord knows what Hess actually wrote down. He's like, I don't know about that. I'm writing this down. You think Hess was the most trustworthy guy? He absconds to Scotland when the going gets tough.
Well, he hanged himself. Give him a break.
Yeah, hangs himself as an old man in Spandau.
Well, maybe Hitler was infallible. Why don't we have a...
No, because he wasn't.
Well, he would have been.
The Germans thought he was.
If they won the war, he would have been.
The Germans thought he was, and
that's
look what
problem.
That led to.
No, that's
right. Now, some good German technology.
Here's a big fallible here. He fucked this up.
Yeah. The Germans in 1942.
Yeah.
July 18th. Okay?
Yeah.
The Americans are not in Europe at this point.
No, the war is pretty much, you know,
it's
undecided.
It's very much up for grabs. And the Germans at this point test the first use of jet engines in the Messerschmitt ME-262. This is a game changer that somehow they screwed up.
Oh, dude, you're 5 years behind the time. Henschel had one in 37.
37?
Okay,
right.
So, all right. So anyway, he didn't. Well, he dismissed this as a toy, I guess.
Why?
Because he's an idiot, that's why.
Good grief.
I mean, he didn't.
You are given an advantage like that?
Well, the British had the jets, too. In fact, Whipple's, the British guy, is the guy who developed the jet engine. So, I don't know.
Yeah, but the German engineers made it work.
Well, yeah, but the problem is he made it a bomber. He said, oh, this would be a great bomber. Good idea.
Yeah. You know what's better? A fighter that can knock down anything.
Why don't you make it a tank? Well, I mean, it makes more sense. Let's make it a submarine. A bomber, anyway. Another fuck up. Nobody ever said Hitler was smart.
That's a swing and a miss. That is a swing and a miss.
Not that it would have, you know, I don't know if the war would have. They didn't have any oil anyway toward the end, so it didn't matter what you.
Towards the end,
you could have had
the whole thing.
You could have B-2s. It doesn't matter.
The whole thing changes, though, if you effectively get this into use.
Well, I don't know about that. Here's what would have happened. If you got these things flying over Germany, I don't think you're going to be bombing Germany.
That's
I don't think
right.
that necessarily means you're going to lose the war because the effect of the bombing was dubious.
True, because it's...
Because everything was underground. They just put everything underground. Well, so what they actually, you know, the armaments and everything, I don't know. I mean, yeah, would it have prolonged the war? I wish so that the United States would have said, hey, let's stop fighting these guys. Let them fight the Russians like we should have and make a separate peace. But no. FDR is an idiot, too. Unconditional surrender. I remember Ulysses Grant said unconditional surrender. That's a good idea at Yalta, remember? Not Yalta, Casablanca. Don't get me started. Now, there's a guy that's infallible, right? FDR.
Who said that?
Yeah, a lot of people. A lot of people thought that. My dad, for one, who still thinks he's God.
Okay.
My dad's a brilliant guy.
Calm down.
Well,
calm down. Have you had your blood pressure medicine today?
Well, you got me right time today.
All right.
See, when you get me at this hour,
whew.
Yeah.
All right, halfway through the events.
Testosterone's flowing.
That shaped the world we live in. Time to do some birthdays.
All right.
There's some decent ones today. 1811, July 18th, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Vanity Fair.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I can think of
really
that he wrote.
Did he ever make any peace or just given a cool middle name there?
He made some money, I think. Oh, made money on Vanity Fair. Was very. I got to read that. Actually, I've seen Becky Sharp. That's the main character.
Yeah.
That was actually the first Technicolor, three-strip Technicolor movie with Miriam Hopkins. our friend Miriam.
Give me a year on that.
35.
Wow. Okay. 1895. Happy birthday,
this guy.
Machine Gun
now, do you,
Kelly.
Do you know the story of this guy?
Not really.
He's a big pussy. He's not what you'd call your tough, real tough guy gangster.
But he gets a Tommy gun.
No, he gets a wife.
Oh.
His wife wanted him to be famous. So she kept urging him to, you know, commit these crimes, and one of them was
he got nagged into gangsterism.
Oh, God. He was uxorious, which means henpecked as hell.
That's beautiful.
Hey, George, go out and make a name for yourself. Kidnap somebody, will you?
What are you doing around the house, George?
Yeah, get out and, you know, kidnap somebody. Make a name for yourself.
The laundry will be here when you get back.
Oh,
go
she
shoot
nagged the
somebody,
hell out of the
for
guy.
God's sake.
Yeah, so he didn't really have anything to lose. That's why he went out and, you know, didn't give a shit.
I'm dying over here.
Yeah, take me to Miami.
All my girlfriends are saying, what does your husband do?
Yeah, yentas. Anyway,
bunch of hen-picked gangsters.
Yeah, this guy was something. Yeah,
now, there's a script for you.
I don't know. It's actually pretty
written
good.
From the point of view of the wife.
Well, they threw him in jail. You know what they called him in jail?
Peaceful?
Pop Gun Kelly.
Pop Gun Kelly.
Yeah, because that's what he was. Everybody knew he was a big pussy.
That's wonderful.
So anyway, but he did coin the phrase or the term G-Man. Because when they finally caught up with him, he said, don't shoot G-Men. Don't shoot G-Men. And it's like Melvin Purvis goes, yeah, I like that.
Oh, Purvis would.
So
now, Purvis was the Texas. Was he a Texas Ranger that they brought up?
No, that was Hamer, wasn't it?
That was Hamer?
He was an FBI guy.
Okay. And Purvis.
Melvin Purvis, FBI.
I think he's portrayed by Christian Bale in Public Enemies, right?
He was. A better movie was Dillinger with Warren Oates.
Okay.
Ben Johnson played him.
Ben Johnson
Melvin
plays
Purvis?
Okay.
Yeah. Although it's nowhere near factual.
I'll tell you, the book, real good book on the history of gangsters, Public Enemies by Brian Burroughs. I don't know if you remember Brian Burroughs, but he wrote Barbarians at the Gate.
Oh, okay.
He's written a couple other really, really good books.
I had Bloodletters and Bad Men. That was a good book. But it was more like a kind of a dictionary style.
Oh, okay.
Where you go like...
You read little nuggets.
Yeah, like Kelly. You go to Machine Gun Kelly, they'll tell you what...
It's like the Encyclopedia
how much his
of
wife,
Gangsters.
Yeah, that's in fact, that's where I learned this. It's like his wife. He wanted to get in jail, get the hell away from his wife.
Get some peace.
Yeah.
It's like Joe Pesci and My Cousin Vinny. Oh, I'm going to stay in jail tonight. Get some sleep.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Beats sleeping with screech owls. He comes out firing a gun. That was a good scene.
Oh, man. But
anyway, Machine Gun Kelly.
Machine Gun.
Pop Gun Kelly.
Hey, now, here's the thing. He survives.
Yeah, he did all right.
He survives through everything, and he dies in 1954.
Yeah. Most
of these guys die in
jail.
That's
what I'm saying. This guy was not a gangster. His wife... pushed
great.
Him into this.
Was he from? Where was he from? I want to say he was
in
lived
Midwest
in,
somewhere.
But I thought he lived in Minnesota.
Might be. That's, I think that's where the Herschel kidnapping
wonderful.
Was.
Yeah, kidnapped a big house.
Yeah, millionaire. Charles Herschel, I think his name was.
1911, happy birthday, Hume Cronin. Great name, Hume Cronin.
Watch Brute Force. How this little pussy was like 5'6". Plays a prison, like this sadistic prison guard that Burt Lancaster could fold into, you know, origami.
Oh, that's
great. But anyway, I don't know how he got miscast in that, but he's actually pretty good. It's called a Brute Force.
Brute Force.
Yeah.
I mean, look for that,
it came out
folks.
48.
That might be a good
he's
one
to good
pick
lifeboat,
up.
Too.
Yeah. Check out thisdayinhistorypodcast.com.
Tallulah Bankhead.
Yeah. I'd like to fuck you, Miss Bankhead.
Yes.
And so you shall,
dear
my
boy.
Dear boy.
But anyway, that was the one where she's climbing up into the boat on the ladder with no underwear on.
And that's Lifeboat?
Yeah.
And that's Hitch. That's Hitch, right?
That's Hitchcock? Said, yeah. Is this, and everybody's complaining, remember? And he said, I don't know how to report this to, how'd it go? To costume, makeup, or hair.
Oh, jeez.
Or hairdressing.
Oh, God.
Yeah, a good response.
Yeah,
she didn't care who looked up her dress.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, so Hume Cronin.
Yeah.
1913.
Married to Jessica Tandy, of course.
That's right. Yeah. That's right, yeah. 1913, Red Skelton.
I like his movies are pretty good. I like DuBarry Was a Lady is a good one. I was in Color with Lucille Ball, of all people.
Oh, wow, okay. And this is Lucy before Love.
Okay. Long, well, they didn't know what to do with her. But Lucy, when she was supposed to be Glamour Girl.
Right, when she was glamorous versus funny.
Yeah.
All right.
I like, his movies are good. I guess his TV show is pretty funny.
Figure skater and actor, born in 1929, Dick
actor.
Button.
I've never seen
him act
in anything.
Dick Button's a hell of a name, too, though.
Skater.
In 1937, the birth of this man, who, to me, epitomizes the late second half of the 20th century. Let me give you some quotes from one Hunter S. Thompson.
The Gonzo Journalism.
I was not proud of what I had learned, but I never doubted that it was worth knowing. You're going to like a lot of these quotes, Arma. In a closed society where everybody's guilty, the only crime is getting caught.
I like that.
In a world of thieves, the only final sin is stupidity. I have a theory that the truth is never told during the 9 to 5 hours.
Possible.
Too weird to live, too rare to die. If you're going to be crazy, you have to get paid for it, or else you're going to be locked up.
Well, that's a good one.
It never got weird enough for me. When the going gets weird, the weird turn professional.
Let me cogitate on that. Maybe there's something deep there.
Some may never live, but the crazy never die. That's true.
Well, he's dead. So.
Yeah, but Hunter's not really dead. He's reached immortality.
Was he leaving Las Vegas? Is that him?
Oh, yeah. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Leaving Las Vegas is Nick Cage.
Yeah, right.
The edge. There is no honest way to explain it because the only people who really know where it is are the ones who have gone over.
Ooh.
That got Armand, folks.
That's very profound.
This one also will get you. The next two will really ring true with you. You ready?
Yeah.
Hunter says, life has become immeasurably better since I have been forced to stop taking it seriously.
You got something there. That goes for dating, too. It goes for plenty of fish.
Speaking of dating, sex without love is as hollow and ridiculous as love without sex.
Ooh. Okay.
Now we get to some of his classics. I hate to I hate to advocate drugs, alcohol, or violence, or insanity to anyone, but they've always worked for me.
Yeah. We had 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, a whole galaxy of multicolored uppers, downers, screamers, laughers, also a quarter tequila, quarter rum, case of beer, pint of raw ether, and 2 dozen amyls. Not that we needed all that for the trip, but once you get locked into a serious drug collection, the tendency is to push it as far as you can. The only thing that really worried me was the ether. There is nothing in the world more helpless and irresponsible and depraved than a man in the depths of an ether binge. And I knew we'd get into that rotten stuff pretty soon.
That one I've heard, yeah. Right.
A man who procrastinates in his choosing will inevitably have his choice made for him.
Probably true.
And this is what I really wish you would adopt. Life should be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving. Life should not be a journey to the grave with the intention of arriving safely in a pretty and well-preserved body, but rather to skid in broadside in a cloud of smoke, thoroughly used up, totally worn out, and loudly proclaiming, wow, what a ride.
Ooh, yeah, that's Gonzo stuff there.
Yeah, embrace some Hunter in your life.
Not me.
Why not?
I don't like that stuff. I don't burn out. You know me. I take care of my body. I'm going to end up like Hunter S. Thompson.
Oh, he ended up fine. Killed himself.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Good for him.
1938, Ian Stewart, the Scottish keyboard player and a manager. Unofficial Ooh. Member of the Rolling Stones.
Oh, okay.
In fact, when we did the Rolling Stones' first concert at the Marquee Club, Mr. Stewart,
okay,
one of the original six. 1940, happy birthday, James Brolin.
Boy, this
you
guy.
Love his wife. You're a big fan.
How is he living with that termagant? Oh, my God.
Want me to tell you?
Santippy.
You want me to tell you?
Well, it can't be money. He doesn't need it.
He's living on top of Bel Air across the street.
I know, but what does he need her for?
Across
he made
the street
money?
From not that kind of money.
I don't know.
That's a different.
Was he, Marcus Welby's
that's
assistant?
A different level of money.
Dr. Kylie?
That's a different level of money.
My word. That's a different level of nose, too.
Oh. I've been past that house.
I despise that woman.
Good grief.
I wish Edward I would have expelled her from the United States. I thought she was going to leave if Trump won. Wasn't she one of them?
They all say that stuff.
Yeah, I know. Bullshit.
1940, happy birthday, Joe.
I like his son better. His son's a pretty good actor.
Oh, no. First of all, he is the backbone of No Country for Old Men.
Yeah,
as good as
good
Tommy
job.
Lee Jones is and Javier Bardem.
Yeah.
It's the little Brolin that is just the centerpiece of that movie.
Well, the ending sucked, and the part with Woody Harrelson was totally stupid. You know, you're going to send this guy out to go get him, and all of a sudden he's walking up the stairs, a guy comes up behind him.
Yeah.
That's the guy you sent? You don't have to do this. So that was stupid. But other than that, it was a good movie. This guy, like I said, Josh Brolin was good, and yes. Bardeen was good.
Okay. All right. Joseph Ellis, American author and historian. Now, Ellis writes a lot of books regarding Revolutionary War. Founding Fathers, a couple books on George Washington. He really specializes in that era. They're very readable. I have about five of them, and I definitely recommend picking up by anything by Joseph Ellis. Joseph J. Ellis.
How about Havelock Ellis?
Not him.
I want to read about homosexuality.
No, he's the
guy who coined the term.
Okay, good. So go to This Day in History Podcast, thisdayinhistorypodcast.com, and click on the Amazon banner. Do yourself a favor, pick up some Joseph
Although
Ellis.
Although Havelock Ellis probably was not homosexual because he didn't like sex with anybody.
He's asexual then.
Well,
what
no.
Did he like it with himself?
No, he finally found out, like when he was like 60, he found out what he really liked.
What?
He liked to be pissed upon.
What do you call that?
Well, a golden shower, yeah.
No, I know that, but what do you call that type of sexuality?
I don't know. Micturophilia? That's micturation.
1950, Richard Branson, the founder of Virgin Group, one of the richest human beings on Earth.
He's doing all right.
Yeah. 1956, name of the day, right here. Now, he was a good ball player.
I never heard of him.
He was an okay player, but he's also a manager and a coach. Razor Shines. You don't remember Razor?
No, I don't.
I do.
I think I would have recalled.
Oh, yeah, good player. Hey, I mean, not a Hall of Famer. Elizabeth McGovern, happy birthday, Liz.
I just watched her in Once Upon a Time in America.
Yes.
I think that was her first movie where De Niro raped her.
Yeah, it's a rough scene. Now, her first movie is before that.
First big.
Yeah.
Boy, she had beautiful eyes, man. Well, I like the other gal better, Darlan Flugel.
Elizabeth's still beautiful today. You don't watch Downton. You've never seen Downton Abbey, but she's Cora, the American heiress.
Oh, yeah. How's she looking pretty good?
She's aged very well.
I like Darlan Flugel.
I tell you, the real movie she looks spectacular in is John Hughes's She's Having a Baby. She and Kevin Bacon are newlyweds.
Oh.
And
that's a beautiful woman, no doubt about that.
Yeah, it was a good movie. In 1967, Vin Diesel.
Screenwriter. What has he written? I want to read what he's written.
Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's Keanu Reeves.
The guy with mothballs in his mouth.
I saw him once at the Indy 500.
Who? You know,
he was on
Vin Diesel. Now, I heard he's one of our LGBT friends.
He's a little fella.
Is he really? Short? Like my height? Less?
Yeah, less. Didn't even come up to my...
I could kick his ass.
Didn't even come up to... Oh, Armine. I'm not kidding you. Your wrestling technique?
Yeah.
You'd pound this guy into the ground.
He's a bouncer. I thought he was a big badass.
No, he's not.
What was that movie with him? Was it Rockabout Guys or something like Roller... Remember that?
Rock and Rolla?
No. The guys, they went to Montana. They're
Brokeback Mountain?
No. Well, like I said, maybe that would... You know, that's the story of his life, but... No, it's about these gangsters. Somebody steals money from the mob, and Malkovich and the father send these four guys, knock-around guys or whatever. Diesel's the fighter.
Oh, gosh.
They send another guy who's like the handsome dude, and the one guy's the son, and they go out to Montana, and he's like, you got to have 500 fights. That's what it would be, 500 fights before you know how to fight. So then he beats the shit out of this guy in a bar fight. Knock-around guys? Knockabout guys?
Don't know it. Don't know.
Okay, I thought you were looking it up.
No.
Anyway, that was a pretty good movie. It was all right.
All right. So there's our birthdays for today.
He's like, what's his name? Xander what? Those XXX movies. Xander Cage, is that his name?
Yeah, I forget. I don't like any of that stuff.
Well, that's
what he's in all that Fast and Furious
too, right?
Yeah.
Did you see the last one?
No, I don't watch any of them. Yeah. My mom saw the cloud of smoke coming up from when Walker was killed.
Oh.
It was down the hill.
She lives around there?
No, but she was staying with my aunt. And she goes, hey, what's going on? There's a cloud of smoke from coming down the hill. Yeah, it's probably a mile away. Well, it turned out that was Walker in the car accident that day.
Right.
They were doing a promotional thing where they take you and do donuts and stuff.
Well, that was the fate of the Furious.
Yeah, it was.
Dumb shit, man. You put your life on the line
like that. No, you can still drive by the spot today, and people still drop off flowers and stuff. It's weird.
Yeah, it's too bad.
It's horrible because the guy was a good guy.
Yeah, he was probably. He was a fine guy. It's crazy to do that shit. You know, anybody, much less a guy who's got the world by the ass.
It's dangerous. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, back to the events.
Here we go.
This is biggie. Next one. Yeah, boy, this is... Armand, do you wish when you were 5 years old that you would have bought stock in this?
I'll tell you, yeah, but not a few years ago.
No.
It was up to 75. Now it's, what is it? I don't even know. Is it 30?
I don't track it.
Went way down.
What are you asking me for? Intel is founded.
Don't buy it. Buy NVIDIA or AMD.
The founding of Intel Computer Processing, 1968, Mountain View, California.
Who are the guys? Was that? Who's the Intel guy?
Don't remember. I'll tell you who it's not.
Well,
it's not this next guy.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Here's a guy that's kind of not infallible.
I got a story about him, but I don't want to bore you. Well, maybe I will. In 1969, July 18th, this is the infamous date where Ted Kennedy, a United States senator for the state of Massachusetts, mind you, crashes his car into a tidal basin at Chappaquiddick Island, killing his passenger, campaign specialist Mary Jo Kopechne.
Yeah, remember the joke? They made a lot of jokes about this, but my favorite was like in 72, they said, Senator Kennedy, are you going to run for president? I'll drive off that bridge when I come to it. Now, that's funny.
People forget a lady was killed.
Yeah, I know. One of the boiler girls, room girls. God. Remember? That was their name? There were like six of them. They're all at this party. Apparently, she was like alive for like 2 hours down there because she had like air bubble down there.
And he did nothing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. He was a murderer. No doubt about it.
Ever tell you, I did run into him once.
Oh, I hope you heard him.
In Milwaukee. He came off an elevator. Doors opened on my baggage claim with my broadcast partner. We were there to do a game.
Yeah.
And I look over my left shoulder and I'm like, oh my God.
Did you smell the alcohol in his breath?
No. And he's older at that point, of course. Yeah, he literally waddles out of the elevator and in person, you can really see he really does look like his brothers. Because I never thought he really did on TV.
Nah, I kind of get that, yeah.
But in person, you're like, oh, my God, he really does look like Jack and like Robert. And, we just, hello, and, very pleasant.
Oh,
but,
very nice.
And then he and his assistant, got his bag and off they went. And my partner, Richard Wallbrink, Rick Wallace is kind of his stage radio name, was like, oh, my God, that's amazing. We just, had a moment with Ted Kennedy. Well, he would go and do the game, and he goes, why don't we talk about our brush with greatness at halftime? So we tell the story, and what I used to – Rick could impersonate people.
Yeah.
So as we opened up the second half, I said, and here is a special guest to bring you the second half of the match, Senator Edward Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And Rick, without a pause, launches right into it. Thank you, Tony. And we kick off here.
I think you've told this story before.
And this goes on for minutes.
Yeah.
He's doing play-by-play as Ted Kennedy, proving no one is listening to this broadcast at all, because somebody would have called, right? And we fly home. I tell my wife this. She goes, you guys are a bunch of assholes. I said, why? She goes, he's there to pick up his sister who died, the one who was in the sanitarium.
Oh yeah, she was a mess. Yeah, she was
the one that Joe had lobotomized.
Right. Yeah, that's the old man. Yeah, yes. The old man. Yeah.
Because she was too
right. She wasn't right.
Yeah. Well, no, she was a Kennedy.
Right, but you can't have that runner around.
But you can't have a female Kennedy doing what the male Kennedys do. Hence lobotomy.
That's Joe all over.
Jesus, what a mess.
Yeah, no, this guy. Yeah, he's a scumbag, I'll tell you. How he got away with this, that just goes to show
first of
you.
All, how did he ever get to the point where he was even considered for a second in 1980 as a Democratic nominee?
Well,
how does that even happen?
Well, if you're a Kennedy, you get away with murder. Okay. I mean, it's a signal lesson in what this country is.
His nephew got away with it, too.
Well, they all, that's what I'm saying. Money can
William,
get you.
William Kennedy Smith?
Yeah. He killed somebody too, I think.
Down
right?
at the estate in Florida?
Yeah, in Florida.
1976, Olympic Games. We said just yesterday they began. One day into the games, Nadia Comaneci, she scores the first ever perfect 10 in gymnastics. The story of Nadia post-Olympics is horrible.
Hey,
what
is
she endured in Romania.
The wide world of sports where the gal's on the balance beam or whatever, and her feet are over her head. Is that her? Or is that Olga Korbut? Or, you know what I'm talking about? Remember,
I don't know that
remember
that's
the Nadia. Little tease at the beginning?
Yeah.
Well,
and then the
Vinko Bogatai.
And then the
you know,
skier goes.
Yeah, that's Bogatai.
That's Bogatai?
Yeah, Vinko Bogatai.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the agony of defeat. But,
oh.
like, you can see that gal. She's on the balance beam.
It might
right,
be Nadia.
Her head and her feet are coming over. Her yeah. back is bent. Like, her feet are parallel
to her head. Oh, she's a pretzel. Yeah, she's a pretzel.
I think that might be her.
But she was basically turned into a sex slave for
cool
for Krzyzewski's son.
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody's a sex slave in that.
I mean, that's, oh, God.
Yeah, they hanged him, too.
They shot him on Christmas Day, didn't they?
Yeah, and his wife.
Yeah. Happy, Merry Christmas. Oh. 1989, December 25th. I remember that.
I don't have a problem with that.
1984, I remember this. Now, this isn't the first mass shooting in the U.S.
I remember this, yeah.
But this was notable because...
It sounds like one of your relatives.
Well, yeah, because his name is James Oliver Huberty. Rhyming with puberty. Huberty.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And this
did you remove the Y after
no.
this happened?
Mm-mm. He opens fire at a McDonald's in San Ysidro, California.
Yeah.
And he kills 21
I think
people.
This place is still open, I think.
I thought they tore it down.
Oh, did they?
I Armand, probably we need
Maybe.
To check on that, but I thought they tore it down because of that. And San Ysidro is basically suburban San Diego. And he injures kills 21, injures 19. Police would shoot him dead.
Good.
But this is one of the first things, like, unlike the University of Texas shooting,
yeah.
you know, from the bell tower.
Yeah, yeah. Chapman, I think his name was.
Right. This was one of those first horrific, oh, my God, someone just walked into ordinary life and committed an act of murder and terrorism. Because I don't really remember.
I think we had some, I think, wasn't the term go postal? I think we had some post office.
Have we had, did
I don't
we,
know.
Prior
I
to
right, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, prior to 1984.
We had a
now,
few.
Again, that's just for.
Well, not Chapman, Whitman, the guy in the yeah. guy in the towers. Whitman, Charles Whitman.
Charles Whitman at Austin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
1966, August 1st.
Yeah. You know, there's a documentary on Netflix about that right now, by the way. I haven't checked it out
remember,
yet.
Remember that? Remember in. Full Metal Jacket?
Oh, full. Yeah.
Who? None of you dumbasses know who Charles Whitman was.
Sir?
he shot was, all those people.
This guy that shot all those people.
Affirmative. what a Marine and his rifle can do.
When they are properly motivated.
Right. Well, yeah, properly motivated. Charles Whitman. Oh. Anyway, this guy was no Marine. I don't know what he liked. I don't. Did they ever find as if there could be a cause?
I know, because
you know, rationalize this shit.
He was shot dead at the scene. Now,
I really think
it's a mass shooting. Here's the thing. Look, the minority population, especially African American populations, had suffered incidents like this for a long time.
What about mass shootings?
No, they're
just walking. The poor people are walking down the street and getting sprayed.
Yeah.
Well,
that's what
that's
I'm talking
not a mass
about.
Mass shooting. This is. Well,
no, that's what I'm talking about.
I don't think it's that many. I mean, you know, we have 40 people getting killed. I mean,
right.
But that's gang wars. I mean, of course, that was back to the 20s, too.
Oh, it goes way back.
Well, it's collateral damage.
1992, the first picture ever posted to the World Wide Web. It's a picture.
Okay.
Help me out here, Armand. Les Horribles Cernettes.
Les Horribles Cernettes.
Well,
I don't know what that means. A horrible what? I don't know.
I don't know what a Cernette yeah. is. It's the first ever photo posted to the web.
Must have been Gore, huh?
No.
Well,
I don't
invented
think so.
It.
No. He's busy being vice president at the time.
Yeah. No,
well, no, he was not,
not
even sworn in. Yeah, he's
no,
not sworn in yet.
He never heard of global warming yet. He was getting a D in physics at this time, I think.
In 2013, the city government of Detroit, $20 billion in debt, files for the largest municipal bankruptcy in U.S. history.
There's more coming. Don't worry. The whole state of Illinois is bankrupt.
Yeah, right? See.
Now, I wish we were bankrupt. We're more worse than that.
Yeah.
God. You know I got a point.
Good.
See, now that's if you want to bitch about Trump, there's my problem. How come he's not talking about this debt of ours?
Armand?
Although nobody is.
Armand. Well, there's your correct answer. No one seems to really care.
I don't know. Well, that's the problem with this Obamacare. You give people something, you can never take it away.
By the way, that bill...
It's going to be repealed. I'll bet you on that one.
Really?
Yep.
Because the two senators just said today, and they've already pulled the bill. Again.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't say the bill's going to pass. They're going to repeal it and let it die.
That's
a smart thing to do.
That's a different... Yeah,
right.
That's
what you should be doing. Just repeal the damn thing.
That's not repeal and replace.
No, don't replace anything.
That's just repeal.
Exactly. Right. That's what's going
to
happen.
Who died on this date, July the 18th? Well, I take you to 1610, Caravaggio.
Michelangelo.
Do you say Cara or Cara?
Caravaggio.
No, Caravaggio.
It's Caravaggio. But I think his real name is, Michelangelo Arnetti or something like that. Yeah, his real name is Michelangelo.
Yeah. Anyway. What was Michelangelo's last name?
Bonarotti.
Bonarotti. Okay.
But yeah, this guy, I like this guy.
You do?
He's one of the tenebris.
What's a tenebris mean?
Well, you know what tenebris means?
No.
Dark. So,
well, his,
if you look at his paintings,
no, they are. It's all, it is dark. Shadowy.
Right.
Yes.
That's him. The one, wasn't it, Judith with the head of Holofernes?
Yeah, there's
that's
not
a good one.
Not a lot of light in his painting.
Yeah, he's a tenebris.
His subject matter is a little.
You know, this guy killed a guy, too. That's
this
why
guy
he got
did?
Kicked out of Rome.
Oh.
Yeah, he was a brawler. He liked to fight. He got all kinds. Yeah, he's a shit disturber, this guy.
How about that?
So finally, somebody got killed. I don't know. I was trying to read up on what happened, but nobody knows. And they just said, get the hell out of here. He went to Naples.
1792, the great admiral, diplomat John Paul Jones perishes.
Don't give up the ship.
Don't give up the ship.
Right before they gave up the ship.
And then they gave up the ship. Son of a bitch.
Yeah. There you go.
1817, Jane Austen.
I like Jane. I've read Pride and Prejudice, one of my favorite books.
Sense and Sensibility?
I've read that. It's good.
What is the what
Emma,
else?
Do I, Emma.
Emma. Mansfield's
Northanger
Park.
Abbey.
Northanger Abbey. How do you say that
Northanger
again?
Abbey.
Northanger Abbey.
That one I haven't read.
Okay.
About
six good novels.
You can
novels,
watch every one of these been made into movies.
Multiple times.
Yeah. But Pride and Prejudice is my favorite. And if you're going to watch it, watch the 1940 version. Laurence Olivier is Darcy.
Mm-hmm.
Fitzwilliam Darcy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Greer Garson is Bennett.
Mm-hmm. Who directed?
I'm not sure. Was that Wyler?
English production or
Wyler.
American production?
No, it was
American production.
They brought him over for that. Plus, he wanted, he had to bang Vivian Lee,
right,
so
right,
he was close.
Why not?
But I'm just thinking, might have been William Wyler.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I'll look it up.
Thomas Cook passes away in 1892. Probably passed away on an all-inclusive trip somewhere. Ate too much at the buffet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
1899, Horatio Alger. Did you just say Alger?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've read some of it. He's like the guy, the rags to riches,
yeah.
Horatio Alger story.
Mm-hmm.
Very inspiring, yeah. Not even remotely realistic. But
two we already mentioned, Machine Gun Kelly and Mary Jo Kopechne.
George Machine Gun Kelly, by the way.
He would die in 54, Kopechne, of course, in 69.
Yeah, that was quite a relief.
And, I forgot about this next guy.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that he lived long past the Vietnam War, but in 2005, William Westmoreland would pass away.
I think this guy, as a general, wasn't bad. I just don't think he's in the right war.
Did he not win all the battles?
Yeah, well, that's what it, you know.
Right?
But that's not what this is about.
I know.
And that's like killing everything that moves may not have been the best strategy.
To win hearts and
politically,
minds?
Politically, yeah. Politically. You know, so I... But what the guy's a soldier. What's he going to do? I don't know. That's the problem, you know. You know what Clemenceau said?
Soldiers were soldier?
No. Didn't you remember Dr. Strangelove?
Oh,
Mandrake? Remember what Clemenceau said about war? No, I don't think I don't believe I do.
I don't believe I do, yeah. Peter Sellers.
It's too important to be left to the generals. That's right. That's what he did say. But that was Sterling Hayden, General Jack Ripper.
Yes.
So anyway, but yeah, that's the problem.
We're
this
have
guy
to
fought the war
to the Coca-Cola bottling company.
Yeah, yeah. Shoot, shoot! That's what the bullets are for, you twit.
No, Westmoreland.
Bat guano. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
I'm eager to watch the Ken Burns upcoming because I don't like Ken Burns.
No.
Okay.
Neither.
And
boy,
it's hard.
Is he overrated.
It's hard for me to. It's not hard for me to say why I don't like him. His documentaries are, it's like documentaries for dummies.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I don't know about
his
facts either.
I'm not calling you a dummy if you watch a Ken Burns documentary.
No, you're a dummy if you don't know it already because it doesn't say anything.
I know a lot about baseball, and I knew a lot about baseball when that thing came out, and that was one of the bigger disappointments in my life because I learned nothing watching that thing.
Civil War was similar.
Okay, now if you know nothing about the subject,
right? That's
for instance, his jazz documentary, I know nothing about jazz.
Okay, maybe that one.
So I pick up what I call the primers. Like, these are the basics I should know. Because that's what in the baseball documentary, I was like, okay, if you walked into the United States and knew nothing about baseball, this would be a good introduction for you.
I guess. Read a book.
You know. So I'm going to watch his Vietnam thing. as a jumping off point to, like you said, read a book.
Yeah.
You know, because whoever he interviews or whoever, you know, those are the people I will go and explore and try to learn something about.
Well, I mean, like, here again, Westmoreland, yeah, he was fighting a war that was more or less unwinnable politically, I think. That's now, yes. Had he played more of a defensive, now, but I don't know if he'd have won the war doing this.
I don't either.
Right?
Who can say?
Had he played more of a defensive and let the, but after Tet, I don't know. And that...
Well, not just after Tet, Armand. It goes on for six more years after Tet.
But, I mean, after that, it was pretty much...
The public perception
the public
is that this
is all
done.
Over. You know, I've lost Cronkite. That means I've lost...
the war.
I've lost the middle Midwest.
You know, I have a
Johnson talking.
My mom's cousin, Robert, fought in Vietnam, and we've talked about a couple things where he said, you know, I'm standing on a site, and, you know, we've taken a hill, and we get orders to relinquish the hill.
Yeah. Well, that's what you get.
And we're sitting there, standing there, and going, men just lost their lives for this.
Yeah.
And now...
We're just giving it back. Yeah, same thing with, you know, we have to destroy the village to save it. And all kinds of conflicting, you know. That's why they're shooting anything that moves. Well, that's not a great political ploy. But when you're out there and they're putting baby carriages with grenades in them, what would you do?
Your options become severely limited.
That's what I'm saying, you know. Although now I think we're on the opposite side where these poor guys got their hands tied. These rules of engagement are so fucked up that we're losing people.
I did hear an interesting
kill a civilian.
Interview this morning with one of the members of SEAL Team 6 who took the final shot.
Right.
Okay. You know, and he said the good thing about their mission was that, you know, those rules of engagement protocols.
But hopefully they were called off.
We're totally off.
Yeah, neglect those.
And he had been on other missions where the rules of engagement protocols were off. And he goes, you know, when that happens, everyone knows.
Yeah.
And there becomes, you know, he sort of insinuated there becomes a comfort level. Not in that you're not nervous because you know there's a likelihood you're going to die.
Yeah.
But you're going to die on your terms.
Right.
And not on, oh, I can't do this.
I'd rather
this.
Go into battle like that.
Yeah, and that's
going
what he,
like, be nervous
what he
about,
meant.
Hey, if I shoot this guy, I may end up in jail.
Right, right. And this, I think it was the name's Robert O'Neill from,
okay. Well,
from
that makes sense
SEAL
to
Team
me.
6
that's
who has...
You know what I say. Get the hell out of there. That's another, you know, that's another thing. I don't know what Trump's thinking. Get the hell out of Afghanistan right now. And South Korea, by the way. You know, we got 700 bases across the world.
Yes.
700?
Yes. We are the empire, Armand.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know why he doesn't address this stuff.
But every time I bring this up to you, you've kind of shouted me down.
Yeah, but nobody else does.
But if you want to address the spending that could, you know, go with a lower tax rate and not create a deficit, reel some of this back.
Well, I agree.
Reel some of
but
it back.
But that's not discussed.
But if I say that, I'm like unpatriotic.
I don't think so.
Well, you don't think so, but a whole bunch of other people do.
What's patriotic about being stupid? You know what I mean?
I don't know. What's patriotic about putting American lives in harm's way for no real purpose?
Okay, I'll go one further. Are the Russians our enemies?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I can tell you the Russian oil company.
Yeah, but that's more economic.
Which is what it is our economic enemy.
Well, everybody's our economic enemy. That's why the Chinese manipulate their currency. We've been fighting economically with Japan.
And you know what? You
since
know
the
my,
80s.
You know my feeling. Russia's not a country. It's an energy corporation parading around as a country.
Well, they got their own problems. They're not bent on world domination.
Yes, they have their own problems.
I just don't get this. I really don't get this at all.
I think you're,
when did it become stylish to, you know, to say these guys are our enemies?
I think you're reading a little too much into it.
Into what?
Look, what do you understand what's happened?
No.
The hacking?
No.
Okay.
None of that's been proven to me.
Yeah, okay. Well, it never will be then.
Well, what are you talking
about?
It
never will be.
Where's your proof? What do you want me to read?
Three intelligence agencies say the Russians...
I thought it was 17.
No, it's three.
I heard 17.
Okay, 17 of them agreed with the core three then.
To what extent and to what purpose?
That's what's being investigated right now, right. But they're all in agreement that attempts were made. Now, simply in my mind, what this is payback... For our meddling in the Ukraine.
Could be.
In that election.
Should be. Then what do you do? Who do you blame? I blame Obama then. The election was under his jurisdiction, right? So how come he didn't prevent it? I remember him getting on there. It's impossible. Remember that? He said that. I'll show you on YouTube.
Yeah, that's right? Fine. Okay. You can show
me. Well, then it's his fault. He's complacent about it when they thought they were going to win. That's the problem I have with it.
Okay.
You know, if Obama
I think,
said,
I think you're drinking the Trump Kool-Aid on that one.
I'm not drinking any Kool-Aid. I don't care. First of all,
there were steps taken. Okay.
Oh, there were. Huh?
Yes, there were.
Sure. Sure.
Okay. Then
you can't even have a voter ID law passed. You think actually people are actually looking for Russian hacking into this election?
I don't know what they were.
Now, I'm going to grant. Here's what I think happened. They did hack into the DNC. That's their fault because they tried to do it to the Republicans, too. Apparently, their firewall was too strong.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they got into the DNC.
Right. And they leaked it out.
South Carolina just today released on Election Day how many times their voting system had attempted hacks on it. Go look that
up. By whom?
Go look that up.
I'm sure.
I didn't qualify it by whom.
That's what I'm saying. But why?
But people are trying to influence and corrupt the results of Democratic elections.
Yeah, it's been going on ever since we've had computer balloting, I would imagine. Probably before that even.
Oh, before that, it was much easier.
Yeah, just stuff the ballot.
Just burn the ballots that you don't like and stuff the ones
but
that you do.
Are you for voter ID laws?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Why is everybody against that? Why are the libs against that? Because we're going to deprive the minorities of their vote. Even though you give them free, you know, come in and get your free card. Geez.
Okay.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Why are you getting? You're for it, you just said.
It's do some research on that topic, please. Please.
Oh, I've never read anything about that.
Please.
What are you talking about? I have never seen any compelling evidence that minorities are deprived.
You know how many cases of voter ID fraud there were?
That's what you say.
Okay. See, then
what's your source? I'll give you sources, too.
Then the argument's over, because the source I just read is 31. There's been 31.
I'll give you more source. I'll print them all for you today.
31.
Thousands.
That's just
thousands,
what I read yesterday.
Thousands. Where? I want your source.
All right.
What's your source?
Armine, I read a lot. I don't know if it's the Times, the Post, and it doesn't matter. Because when I argue with someone
31,
like you.
31 in the whole country.
When I argue with someone like you, the rejoinder is always going to be fake news, false outlet, biased outlet.
My rejoinder is always the same. What source? And show it to me.
Okay, I'll find it today.
That's all, because I have one, and I'll show it to you.
I read it yesterday, and my first reaction was,
so you believe,
31?
Yeah.
That seems really low.
Right. So that immediately says that's suspect.
Well, sometimes
31 what? Nationally in one
look,
county? What?
You have to look behind the statistics.
Well, all I'm asking you is 31 where?
Okay, I'll find it.
Well, then you didn't read too closely. I'm talking about Virginia. There were 70,000 in Virginia, the state of Virginia. Voter ID fraud. Yeah, people that voted more than one state or were dead or were not registered. I'll show you the source. It was Washington Times, but it's not them. They're the ones that printed it. They're not the ones that did the study.
They didn't do the study. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, there you go.
We'll look at it.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, you should dismiss that out of 31.
Well, maybe you should dismiss the thousands and thousands out of hand, too.
Possibly. But that makes more sense than 31. Anyway, I just think it's a good policy. You want to vote, have your ID. I don't think that's asking too much. Why is the ACLU getting you know, their jockstrap all twisted about that? You just said you agreed with me, right?
I do.
Okay, well, then what's the problem?
I think it's more nuanced than that. Come on. You're making this into a black and white.
Well, in this case, I think it is.
Yeah.
People should have an ID to vote. You say no or what? Where's the gray? Some people should, some shouldn't. Once in a while. Where's the gray?
When you walked in to vote, was your name on the thing?
Sure.
Okay.
But I had an ID in case they didn't even ask.
And they didn't even ask.
I agree. But that's not good.
But they checked off your name. So
yeah.
Armand had voted.
Right.
Okay, so how many people voted as Armand Kachigian?
And you're telling me I couldn't have gone to L.A. where I was registered before? I'll bet you anything, had I wanted to.
Are you double-rolled?
I could have been, sure. Nobody's checking. I probably still am on the books in L.A.
You could be.
You think anybody's checking that?
Don't know.
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
That's pretty slipshod. Now, to your point, if this hacking is such a problem, all right, well, spend some money and make it hack-proof.
They should.
Well, I don't hear anybody clamoring for it.
Oh, I do.
I just don't think the national election was affected. I mean, you know, maybe it was a little bad publicity for Hillary.
No. Listen to what they're saying.
Yes.
Attempted.
Okay.
Okay?
Right.
Influence. Influence means through social media. Attempted means perhaps attempted hacks on actual.
But I'm just saying, now, come on now. You know, people that hate Trump hate Trump. People that hate Hillary hate Hillary. Do you think anybody's vote was changed at all? Because Panetta's emails or even what's her name, Blabbermouth.
I think the false news that permeated my feed last summer to the point where I had to just say to people, "You're gone. You're done." Okay, this is one was a lifelong friend.
Yeah, but what was the false news?
I had to tell her the Denver Guardian is not a thing.
But what was she saying? What was her
Hillary and it was something on Hillary and the abortion thing where they pull the live babies out and rather than they're just murdering the baby post delivery.
Well, don't you now you think she was going to vote for Hillary, but she saw this and now she's not going.
She was never going to vote for Hillary, but right. She's spreading false news. Well, and doesn't know it.
Well, who do you blame then? I mean, that's like blaming drug dealer, not the people that take the drugs.
I can tell you who was doing the spreading of the false news.
Yeah, but so what?
Okay.
But don't you blame the idiot that believes it?
The idiot who believes it votes.
Right.
Okay.
That's the problem. Therein lies the problem,
and
right? People that vote are stupid.
And here's where we are.
Right. Well, there you go. But what are you going to do about that? That, to me, is an unsolvable problem.
It might
people
be.
People don't care enough to think.
It might be because it met their confirmation biases and they
people
ran.
People care
with
more
it.
About who they vote for on The Voice or whatever the hell than they do about who they vote for
we
president.
We do a better job voting on that.
Well, here's my answer. Why do we have a democracy then? I don't think everybody should get to vote, but that'll never happen.
No.
Do you agree with me there? You should pass some sort of test, I think.
I read something pretty interesting the other day in a book about selective democracy.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Where and forget the country. It might be Belgium, where you don't have a choice. You're voting.
Yeah, but that's not necessarily good. Do we want that?
No. And not on everything. You're still voting representatives. So when it's time to vote for a representative, you have to. There's no, I'm sitting this one out.
Is that good?
It's not, hold on.
Belgium.
It's not a pure democracy. Because those famously will eat themselves right away. Okay, that's well proven. We don't all need to be sitting down to dinner watching a 30-minute clip on a video and then voting on it. That will ruin us. That's well proven.
If it was up to me, everybody gets to be a representative, just like you're on jury duty.
Well, that's what they were advocating here, Armand.
Well, that makes sense.
That with a new technology in the future, it would be like a jury duty where they'd have, and the problem comes with the representational sampling, but
I think that could be dealt with.
You basically, pull the voters for this and say, okay, you're up. Here's the date. You're voting.
I'm not talking about voting. I'm talking about you're legislating. You actually make them the legislators, especially in local whatever, because then and you give them like one term of a year or whatever, because then they have to live with what that's the problem.
On the municipal level, that'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty interesting on the municipal level. Maybe, I don't know if I want to go as far as state, but certainly in municipal and county.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the problem.
Because now you are empowered, damn it.
Right. Well, that's right.
You are empowered.
Right. Isn't that what democracy,
shut up. It's now your problem. Do something.
That's what H.L. Mencken said about democracy, that people should have the – how does it – I love this quote. Now, I forgot it already. People get the government they – or whatever should – H.L. Mencken on his definition of democracy.
Searching. I think our internet's down in the office.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure it's down. Hold on. One more try.
Yeah.
Well, here's some of the quotes.
Yeah.
Let's see here. H.L. Mencken. This is a good topic, Armand.
Oh, yeah. Well,
democracy is the theory.
That's the one, I think.
Democracy is the theory that the common people know what they want and deserve to get it good and hard.
Right. That's it. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Democracy is the theory that the common people know what they want and deserve to get it good and hard.
Perfect.
I'm sorry to tell you, but a lot of you Americans right now, you're getting it good and hard.
Yeah, but
and you're going to get it good and hard. Sorry.
We've been getting it good and hard.
You fucking asked for it, now you're going to get it.
We had paradise for 8 years, and
I didn't say that.
We had a garbage.
Never said that.
Well,
don't make those assumptions.
Like this Obamacare. Do you think, or repeal or replaced or left in, do you think the senators and the House and the representatives are ever going to have to ascribe to that?
No.
That's the problem. There's another problem right there. First of all, I wouldn't pay them. You want to be in the Senate or the House? Not that they give a shit.
Right.
No pay. Why are we paying politicians? No pensions, no pay.
Right.
If you're doing this for the good of the people,
yeah,
be you altruistic. Don't get paid.
Yeah, be altruistic.
Although then people would say you get your expenses paid or whatever.
Sure, no, you get house
term
allowance.
Term limits are obvious.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and you have to live by what you legislate. What a novel idea. That's the problem. These people never leave Congress. They never leave the Senate. They don't have to live by their own laws.
Right.
That's what we're talking about, unions.
It's not.
The leaders do fine.
What do you call that? A kleptocracy?
I don't know I mean. No,
it's not a democracy.
No, of course not.
So
it's an oligarchy.
There you have it. Armand, you done? You get it off your chest, buddy? We went from William Westmoreland to the repeal and replace Obamacare.
It won't be replaced.
Hell of a tangent.
I just said that's my prediction. It's going to be repealed.
Repealed but not replaced. I got you. I hear you. July 18th, we are done. In the books. Thanks for tuning in. When July 19th rolls around, of course, we will be right here to tell you about it at lineupmedia.fm. Don't forget, subscribe on Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. And subscribe on Twitter. I'm sorry, on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, or any major podcast outlet. For Armand Kachigian and producers Brian Allen and writer Corey Smith, I'm Tony Hubert. We'll talk to you next time here on lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.